The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The Sharks are circling Boris Johnson, but will they attack? Voices of dissent in the Tory party are growing ever louder as the fallout from Partygate rumbles on. To get some insight on where Johnson's stock currently rests, I'm joined now by Sky News political correspondent Tamara Cohn. Tamara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Now, it's a very interesting situation. They need 54 letters to the 1922 committee. And the way that's worked out is 360 Tory MPs, 15% of that gives you 54. And that explains that number. Where are we, do we know, publicly in regard to that number?
Well, we know that the rebellion is gathering pace and has done since the publication of the Sue Gray report into parties in Downing Street, which was only 7 days ago. But of course, a week is a long time in politics. We are now at over 40 Conservatives who have publicly expressed doubts about Boris Johnson, about his leadership, about his authority, about the direction he's taking the country. And of those, 28 are outrightly saying that he should resign. So if we assume that most of those people have a letter in, we are about halfway there. But I think we certainly know that there are quite a few others who have privately made clear to colleagues that they have a letter in. And when we were at this stage with Theresa May, I remember in 2018, when she hit her threshold, which was then 48, only around half of those had publicly been declared. So I'd say that certainly senior Conservatives and allies of the Prime Minister are braced for it being somewhere nearing the threshold, and that a vote of confidence in his leadership could come pretty soon, even as soon as next week or the week after.
Now, he's been criticised by his own ethics advisor, Christopher Guyte, who said that Johnson didn't believe he'd breached the ministerial code, where it would appear apparent that he did.
That's right. And the timing of this has not been great because, of course, Boris Johnson is in the middle of a storm about his personal integrity. And you now get the ethics advisor writing a foreword to his annual report yesterday, which is quite astonishing, really, suggesting that the whole ethics system was a matter of ridicule if the Prime Minister didn't follow it. I think Downing Street are suggesting that behind the scenes, this is not as bad as it sounds, because the Prime Minister was advised that he needed to address whether, in breaking the law and getting a fine, he had broken the rules for ministers. And the Prime Minister has written back to his ethics advisor, Lord Guyte, to say that he doesn't believe he has, that he believes that because it was an unintentional breach of the rules, therefore it's not in the category of a resigning offence, and pointing out that other government ministers in years gone by have committed small breaches of the law. Harriet Harman, for example, committed a driving offence and did not resign. Now, maybe that will get him out of this hole with his ethics advisor, who I understand this morning is not resigning. But certainly for many Conservatives who are worried about this whole issue of integrity and probity, this has not been a very good time for that to come out. And although this week we expect it to be very quiet in politics, of course, we've got the Jubilee and we've got two bank holidays coming up. I think there may well be other Conservatives coming out in the next few days and possibly driven by this.
Now, what's this about redrafting the ministerial code and leaving out the words honesty and integrity?
Yeah, so the Prime Minister has to issue a new version of the ministerial code with their own foreword. And if you look at the one that Boris Johnson inherited in 2019, it talked a lot about honesty, integrity, transparency, setting the right example in government. And he has now issued a new one in which none of that is in there. And it quite markedly talks about how Boris Johnson wants to deliver on his programme and believes that he is only accountable to the voters. Now, it must be said that all of these issues about transparency and integrity, and in particular, the idea that if a minister or the Prime Minister misleads Parliament deliberately, they must resign. That is all still in there. It's just not in the foreword. So Boris Johnson is giving us an indication of what his priorities are in that foreword, and they don't seem to include any of these things, but they are still all in there. And if the leadership vote doesn't come in the next couple of weeks, if they don't hit the threshold, the next moment of danger will probably come later this year when a committee of MPs is now looking specifically at whether he misled, in other words, lied to Parliament about these parties when he said there were no parties and all the rules were followed. And if they find that he did, then that is going to be a difficult moment because that would mean a resigning issue.
Now, the cabinet all, of course, rallying round him, the whole idea being that they hang together or they will certainly hang separately. We know that's likely to happen. If Johnson goes, they all tumble with him. But the pressures on the backbenchers particularly, you have what is being referred to as the blue wall, and these are Tory seats that are vulnerable to the Lib Dems. And then there's the red wall. These are Labour seats won by the Conservatives last time out and likely with a small swing to go back to Labour. So these particular Tory MPs are scared, that's for sure.
Definitely there are worries on both of those fronts. There's been a lot of discussion about how when some Tory MPs were first calling for Boris Johnson to go earlier in the year, it was more the Labour-facing ones in the north with the small majorities, and that now, more recently, it is since our local elections at the beginning of May, which were particularly bad in the south of England and London, that it's more the Conservatives in the blue wall who are looking into the abyss. What has been discussed as, you know, Waitrose shopping, gravel drive owning, traditional Tory voters who are now looking towards the Liberal Democrats. Yes, we have seen more of those coming out since the Sue Gray report, but the Conservatives are vulnerable on all these fronts. What has really focused minds is some opinion polling last week, which showed that of the 80 odd seats that the Conservatives won from Labour last time, they would lose almost all of them in a general election. And although there's been a lot of Kremlinology about the 40 MPs who criticised Boris Johnson, are they leavers or remainers? A bit of both. Are they newly elected or been there a long time? Also a bit of both. What's dangerous about this is that for Boris Johnson is that the criticism seems to be uncoordinated and coming from all directions, and it's hard to predict who's going to be next. Mm.
Finally, who's there to take his job? I mean, who is the likely candidate? I mean, Rishi Sunak got himself into hot water over his visa and residency in the United States. So who's there who's going to lead the charge? And those who lead the charge may not necessarily inherit the crown.
No, that's never how it works, is it? Rishi Sunak's stock has certainly fallen quite a lot. He was seen as the front runner. I think what's clear about this is if there was a leadership contest, it's a wide open field. The Conservative MPs who are writing these letters know that they are throwing their cards in the air and don't know which one will be face up at the end of it. We know that Jeremy Hunt has indicated he might want to run. He, of course, ran against Boris Johnson last time. There would be a candidate of the low tax right wing of the party, potentially someone like the Foreign Secretary Liz Truss, because don't underestimate how annoyed some Conservatives are about the economic direction that they are going in under Boris Johnson, and particularly this windfall tax, which was announced last week. Some of them are really pushing the case for tax cuts. But it would be a wide open field, and there's suggestions that a candidate who's not as well known, someone like perhaps the Education Secretary Nadeem Zahawi, might come through the middle as a centrist candidate. So really, it's wide open. And yes, those who wield the knife don't often inherit the crown. So it's really all up in the air. And that's what Downing Street are using as their main argument when they're phoning up the rebels. They're saying there's no alternative leader, no alternative vision. You should stick with the Prime Minister. And those who are leading this know that they are taking a big risk.
Tamara Cohn, Sky News political correspondent, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.